Doing in the laws of Maso Matan in chapter Kuf Nun Vav 156, we're up to subsection 12. And here we have something which is called Avak Loshon Hara. Avak means like the dust of Loshon Hara. What is the dust of Loshon Hara? There is like direct Loshon Hara. And then there is the dust of Loshon Hara, which means it's not directly, but it's a follow-up, and it also is included from the rabbis as Lashon Hara. Ketzad, how so? What would be an example of Avak Lashon Hara? What would it be? Mi yoimar l'ploini sheyia kemoisho ato. Who will tell this individual that he should be as he is now? So, in other words, you're saying, tell this person that he should do as he's now. You're implying that before he wasn't, you know, so you're saying like he's now. So you're implying, yeah, you know what, he had some problems in his past. Oy, or for example, you say, Shiyomer, Shitku Miplendi. No, I don't want to hear about this person. And Eini Reitzel Lehidia Ma'iro Ma'hoyo. I don't want to tell you what happened, what took place. You know, just don't talk to me about this guy. You know, so, you know, there's this very strong, you didn't say anything about him. You didn't say anything specific, but there's intimation over there that this guy, is something wrong with him. Okay, yaitze bedvorim ha'elam. And similar to any kind of thing, similar to these things, in which you're implying something bad about somebody. V'chol ha-mesaper b'toivosoy shel chaveroi b'fnei soynoiv. Anyone who would start saying nice things about your friend in front of his enemies. So you know you're going to provoke them, or you're going to say, oh, this guy is such a nice guy, and you know that those guys hate him, and so you know that you're provoking them to say negative. And this is something generally, not only in this case, but there's a lot of times people hide their meaning by disguising their words, they're pretending. They really have bad intentions, and they really want to do something bad. But they're saying, what did I say? You know, I said only good. You know, I said only good. Sometimes the Torah says in many cases that you have to fear God, because a person asks you advice and you give him the wrong advice deliberately. Then you say, well, I thought that this was good advice. You know, well, I don't know any better. People pretend they will not say the truth, not come out to say the truth, but they'll hide behind other than, you know, everybody out there can't see, oh, this fellow is a nice guy. There's another example, like for the Gemara gives, sometimes even somebody can give you charity and be as evil as the devil. He can be as evil because, I'm giving charity, everybody sees, what a nice guy he is, you know, he's giving charity. Say, for example, the law is, just giving an example, there's many other examples. Say, for example, a person who is poor. A person who is poor is entitled to take tzedakah, entitled to take charity. Now, what is considered poor? If you don't have $200, not dollars, zuz, say dollars, cash available, you're considered poor. And then, if you don't have 200 zuz, then you're entitled to take tzedakah, even $1,000. As long as it's in one shot, you can take even $1,000. But once you have already $200, then you are not entitled to anything. You can't take anything. So what happens if there's a poor man who has $199, right? And then there's somebody who's about to write him a check for $500, which he can take. Then another guy comes in and gives him $1. He says, oh, I'm giving you charity, you know. So everybody says, oh, what a nice guy. He splurged. They gave him $1, right? Tzedakah. But you did him so much damage that he can't now collect. these people's hidden intentions is very hard to detect and very hard to point your finger on. And unfortunately, when we live in an environment, situation where everything is pretend, so it's hard for people to really understand what other people are up to. They're just judged by what they see. And most people say, well, nice guy, he hands out a dollar, you know, but he did more damage with his dollar than he can. Let's say another case, let's say somebody's making an appeal, all right? A person who is of means, you know, offers high dollars instead of, he can give $500. So he, instead of leading and helping everybody to give, he shows a bad example, and then he makes sure, giving high dollars, you know, so and so on and so forth. A person who's speaking Lashon Hara, so he wants to provoke, have bad things spoken about somebody. So you start saying good things. You're saying, I'm innocent. I'm saying something nice about the person. But you're saying it in front of his enemy, so you're causing, you're pretending, but you're causing. So you know what? You may claim, and people may not understand you, or you can, you know, trick people or have people misinterpret your actions, but you can get away with it and you can be happy with it. Okay, but you got away with it, or you think you got away with it, but this is what we're talking about.
What about the concept of, yes, I agree, he's stingy, but he also has a soft heart for animals? You know,
what's the question?
I mean, sometimes I've been told, oh, you're too positive, you're too naive, you know, because I try to find something good in someone.
Why is that naive?
Well,
that's the right way.
I don't think it is. But I'm just thinking this fellow, maybe when he speaks positively about someone that a group doesn't like, if his intention is to try to bring out something really honestly good about this person.
Okay, but we're not. But the case that we're talking about here is that he.
Intention.
That's right. He's disguising his evil intentions by saying good, so nobody understands. Just like the person is giving tzedakah or giving and people don't understand. And he claims for himself and for everybody, he just pretends to be righteous. You know, and unfortunately, there's. Pretty common nowadays, you know, people pretending in, double face or backstabbers, you know, that, you know, trying, you know, but, you know, this is just very common. Or same thing is not only my enemies, or if you just say something publicly, you know, like there's an expression I've said that sometimes, you know, you rebuke somebody, you make one enemy, but you give one person a compliment, you make yourself a lot of enemies, you know, all the other people who didn't get the compliments get there. So, but in this case is, if you're saying it in front of a bunch of people, so there, one should expect that if you're going to say a comment, a nice comment by somebody, and there must be one of the enemies, must be over there, this is considered to be the dust of Lashon Hara, Shu Goydim Shesoyno Yisaper Begnusa, because you're the cause that the one who hates the guy is going to start saying derogatory things about the other person. Avo Bifnei Oyeva, but in front of people that love the person, Mutal Lesaper Bishvachov, it is permissible to say the praise somebody in front of people that like you, because they're not going to say anything bad. Ubavachala Yarba Yisir Midai. But provided that you don't say too much more than necessary, because if you are going to enumerate all his traits, it's not possible it's going to come to some thing degrading. Once you keep on saying, although, you know, there's going to be something there. There's also a way of conniving, you say Lashon Hara in a conniving way. You're just saying an innocent story. Kilu Lashon Hara. as if you don't know what you're saying. You're pretending you don't know what I'm saying is bad. I'm trying to do say bad. Also, this one did so. You're coming back and you're just telling a story innocently, and you think nobody can tell that you're really trying to make the person look bad, and that's also considered, you know, this avak lashon hara. You may not be talking lashon hara, but that's in a conniving way, in a tricky way, doing these things. For some reason, you know, this is a situation which we find ourselves in, like the Talmud says, another story about in Sodom, what they used to do is when there was come a poor person, everybody would give him money to the poor person. Well, Sodom was a very mean place, but they would give him money. But they had a strange custom. They would write their names on the coins. Why? Because at the end of the day, the guest, nobody would sell him anything. So he had the money, but he couldn't buy anything. He would starve to death. And when he died, they would all take back their coins. So then who gave them? So what did they have to give? But it's worse than just being evil and not giving tzedakah. It's giving tzedakah and making sure that the person doesn't have anything. That's worse. That's worse because that's called the Rosh Hashanah, it's called a Ramai, that's called a tricker, because they're doing all their evil things, and what's in their heart, but they're not doing it. And sometimes they say, you know, an open enemy, at least you know who you're dealing with, so you know how to deal with them. But somebody pretends that he's your friend, that becomes a lot more trickier to deal with, because they claim, I'm your friend, you know, I'm doing good things, you know, how do you... And everybody around you thinks, well, this is probably your best friend, you know, they do such nice things. So how do you tell them? They don't know. And it's very easy to hide behind that and think that they get away with it, and they live their lives getting away with it by... But anyways, further, he brings down various different parentheses in footnotes over here, other verses, other things, other details with regards to this, but we're not going to go here. 13. Okay, well, let's hopefully we'll finish. What time you got? Okay, let's see if we can finish up. There's a few more till the end of this. Subsection 13. A guest isn't permitted to praise the host. Oh, he's such a good eye. You know, he gives with open. You know, can't do that. Why? Because then, you know, you go around telling other people, "Oh, this is a nice house." Go, because you're gonna increase. You're gonna bring him all the guests. They're gonna eat up all that he owns. You know, they're gonna just bring guests. You know, don't praise him. Don't say such nice things about him, and don't bring him all the guests. There's a verse that says, this is in Mishlei, in chapter Simin Chav Zayin, Pasuk Yudal, chapter 27, verse 14. It says that one who blesses, this is the verse, it says, one who blesses his friend with a loud voice early in the morning, it's considered to be a curse for him. And because you're doing him damage by, you're saying nice things about him, but what you're doing is you're causing him damage. And further, brings down other sources. Verse 14, another very interesting halacha. Anybody who says something to your friend, it's as if he told you. He doesn't have to tell you, don't tell it to anybody. It's automatically, don't say it to anybody unless I tell you, go and say it. You know, most time people will repeat something that somebody else told them, and when the other guy comes and says, how come you told it? I didn't want you to tell him. He said, well, you didn't tell me not to say. So he says, anything that your friend told you, it's don't say it to nobody else. Unless he specifically tells you, go ahead and say. But as long as he doesn't tell you, you're not allowed to go and say it. Interesting. Sif Tezvav, subsection 15. Asur limnas es Yisrael. You're not allowed to count Jews. You can't do 1, 2, 3. You can't count. Afil einim eskaven rak lahatel goyrel aleis eschum. even if your intention is barely to put a lottery for some umesaper, and he's counting. So let's say you're making a lottery, so you're counting, and you maybe hit number six. You say 1, 2, 3, 4. If you get number six, you get it. Even to win for a lottery or something like that, can't count. But if you look about a mitzvah, even for a mitzvah, like in the shul, you don't count 1, 2, 3. You see, either a shia or not one, not two, can't count. But if you look about a mitzvah, elamitzin etzbei seyim umanizem. But the way they do it is you stick out the finger and you count fingers. You don't count people. You count the fingers. The main mitzvah is boys. You count the fingers. Kasiv yavi b'mishpat. There is a verse that states in Kohelas, Perikud Beis Dalet, Yovi b'mishpat al kol nelam b'sef Kohelas. This is in the end of Kohelas. It says there that God will bring to judgment for everything that's hidden. What are we talking about? He says, Afilu ha'hoire kina b'fnei chaveru. Even one who kills a lice in front of his friend, you know, you get him to be disgusted by it. You're going to stand judgment for that. You're not allowed to do that. You can't make your friend be disgusted, you know, doing something like that. In those days, that was pretty common to have lice and everything else. Yeah. So doing it in front of him. Sifta Zayin. Hasoch sichas chulin. One who talks weekly talk. What does that mean? That's childish talk and lightheaded talk. They're just frivolous, joking, and just talk like that. Then you will be violating a positive mitzvah. Because the verse says, "V'dibar tabam, you shall speak in them the words of Torah, not in other matters." Even if a person set time for study Torah, you shouldn't occupy yourself the rest of the day. Only matters that there is purpose for them. Don't just hang around, do nothing. But don't be talking childish and lightheaded talk. But go back to your study. So if you finish studying and you have nothing else to do, don't go around being bored and looking what to do. Go back to your studies. The fact that we have a set time to study is not meant, once I've done that set time, then I'm free, I'm off the hook, because I've invested my hour a day of learning. But it's only, on the contrary, it's meant for stringency, that minimally you have to learn, that a person should not all day just do business, but he should also spend some time learning. But any time that you could spend learning, if you're not doing business, something else, you should go back to learning. Commission is Barley, Sif Aleph, as we learned before in subsection 1. Sif Yud Zayin, 17. Zrizim Magdimim LeMitzvahs. People who are diligent, they do mitzvahs as quick, early as possible. Don't delay a mitzvah for later. But yet, but one needs not make it earlier than dawn. So like all the mitzvahs you do, get up and do it as soon as possible. Sif Yud Ches. Kol ha-machniv b'dvar aveira machmas yirosei. A person who is flattering with a matter which is a sin. He flatters somebody with a matter which is a sin. Machmas yirosei mipnei b'al aveira. Because he worries, he's afraid of the person who's doing the sin. So you're worried about him, so you flatter him. You got a bully out there, and you're afraid he's going to bully you if you don't sort of flatter him or her. You might get you're afraid of them, so you might, so you're flattering them. Or maybe you want him not to bother you, so you're going to show him that you're violating the laws as well. So. But you don't worry about the fear of Hashem. Who ain't you godl? Ain't you godl? So he has a great, his punishment is great. But worry that he's going to kill you. Muter loymer loy yofa sisa. You can say, you've done well. Afilo over aveda gedoyla. Even if he did a grave sin. if you're worried he's going to kill you, so you can flatter him and say you did okay, you know, just tell him, you know. The Gemara, there's also a whole discussion, because you see Yaakov was flattering Esav. We see that, was telling him all these nice things about him, even though Esav wanted to kill him and everything else, but, you know, it's... But the Gemara, there's a discussion about this in various different places.
Because he was trying to make peace.
The prohibition against flattery is only if you're not in danger. So then, if you're not in danger, then you're not allowed to flatter. There's a whole story in the Talmud about there was the descendant of King Herod, who he wasn't really supposed to be a king because he didn't come from the Jewish people. And they flattered him. They said, "Achina ata, achi ata," and it was a whole thing. The Gemara says, you know, that it was like the destruction came about for the flattery. And there's the discussion in the Gemara about that.
I thought the Romans had put Herod up.
Yeah.
They did.
Yeah.
It's called the Jewish king.
Right. So why would?
And here, they told him, you know, they told the king. That he's a chinuah, that there wasn't, you know, there's something else, you know, there's one thing, but flattery is not acceptable. Subsection 19, we got three more subsections, small ones. Al yamad odu b'mokim sakona v'yoymar sh'oysim le'ines. A person should not stay in a dangerous place and say, oh, God will protect me, it'll be a miracle, you know. Walking in the middle of the night in Roxbury or Dorchester, you know, I mean, say, I'm going to go there, you know, God will watch over me, he'll make going dangerous situations, because Shema Yenesim Leines, because maybe they're not going to do a miracle for you, you know, don't be sure that the miracle is going to happen, and also, even if they would make for you a miracle, if God will save you, but they will be deducted from your merits, and it will be taken away from your other merits. V'yesh machachomim shoyunim na lavir b'svina sheyesh bar shenguim. There were some sages that would withhold; they would not go on a boat in which there were total evil people in that boat, because they were worried shema nifka din aleihem, because maybe the judgment has been remembered for them. You might be sort of being captured with them while they're going to. There were other sages that they were always looking for a boat that had both Jews and non-Jews on it. He said that the Satan cannot dominate the two nations, so Jews and non-Jews together, so somehow he's gonna be saved. He's not gonna do something to the whole plane or the whole boat is not gonna come. Bain Mogan Avram Siv Simon Zeh, look at Mogan at the end of the Simon. Subsection 20. Kol Mishek is Dam. In the olden days they would all let blood. That was a practice. So one who lets blood for health reasons. Bain Libaman Lahabris Navshe. He doesn't have with what to strengthen his soul. I mean, after letting blood, you have to sort of take different. Thus the Chachamim ate it. The Chachamim gave advice. What he should do? Sheyitl biyodei dinar ra. He should take in his hand a bad dinar. That's a coin. It's like a quarter, maybe, a bad one. V'yelech el tzalachem v'ni, and you go to the storekeeper. V'yitein yain in tovu l'knoisei. And you should taste the wine. If it's good to buy it, you know, so before they let you taste it to see if you're going to wine tasting. So he wants to say to taste it if he wants it. Then when he wants to buy, the chemvin is talking, should not take the dinner. Then he'll go to another storekeeper. I don't know how the chemin is not going to take it. He made up with him, I'm not sure. But he can't just go and taste it without having intention to buy. He's just saying that I'm not sure, because that would be like stealing. So here, he says, then he goes to another storekeeper and you do the same thing. Hachi Yitim Reviz, until you get a Reviz. I'm not sure what he says here. Bachach Shiyir Seliknesh, when he wants to purchase, he says the storekeeper should not take the dinner. Why would he not take it? Who's telling the storekeeper? I mean, the storekeeper, maybe he's in under the plan. And so he does, until you can taste the Reviz. Even though in our bloodletting that we do, we don't have such a great worry, we're not worried so much. We can learn with this for others' sicknesses. I'm not sure how we should do it. I mean, I'd get the wine, I'm not sure. Finally, Sivchof Aleph. There's a verse in that says in Mishli, there seems to be a contradiction. One verse says, respond to a fool as his evilness. If you don't, he's going to be wise. He'll think that he's smart in his eyes. If you can't answer him, he's going to think that he's smarter. You know, so that applies to words of Torah. So when somebody challenges the Torah and says things derogatory about the Torah, and if you don't answer him, he's going to take it as his victory that he knows better than you. So then he says you should answer him. However, there's another pasuk in Mishlei Simcha Vav, Habavdivra Ha'ilam Al Tanksil Kivaltiv Ventishvul. There's another pasuk that says just the opposite. Because when we talk about worldly matters, don't respond to a fool, to his evilness, because you might be equal to him. Just let him go, and that's it. Okay, this is Kuzman Vav.